Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Paradigm Shifters. This is another interview with a really wonderful, wonderful woman who's been leading the way through Paradigm Shifters for years as our favorite astrologer. Welcome to the show, Linda Sherman.
Well, it's so wonderful to be here again, Veronica.
I'm excited. Now, Linda's got such a grip on what's going on in the world, on politics, on the shifting systems, possibly what's going on in America with all of our incredible age of chaos, with all our at odds with one another. Honestly, it just goes on and on. Can you help us cope with this, Linda?
Well, we hope so, because astrology helps you to understand where the planetary formations are, where the constellations are, in relationship to cycles and climates here on Earth in our lives, and understanding what it lies ahead, or what is going on now and what lies ahead, and what has occurred before historically that is repeating itself now, helps us to understand the underlying themes and issues that we're all having to deal with at this point.
You mean our personal, the underlying ones, is that right?
Exactly. It doesn't, what astrology doesn't do, it's not an absolute fortune-telling device. Mm-hmm. It tells us what the issues are and the choices that we make as individuals and as collectives, as nations, are up to us. We can make decisions that alter these things, mm-hmm. or that work with these things, as opposed to them being so troublesome to us. We can look at them and face what needs to be dealt with and make better choices. That's why we get our charts done, and that's why I make my forecasts on my online newsletter.
And I love your online newsletter. So you're saying this way we don't get blindsided. But let's talk about your newsletter, and what you're talking about is that the planets, what did you call it? They're all converging, their influence is converging around structure and foundation. A lot of us in metaphysics know that this is a time where we're going through a huge, huge grinding dissolution of old systems, and it's really
Absolutely.
Painful. Yeah, so that's kind of how I jumped into that section that I read there at the beginning, of structure and foundation. So as little old people, how do we deal with that?
Well, this is a problem. People are having very grave difficulties right now. Nations, there are so many people overthrowing their governments, protesting their governments throughout the world. We think we're having it tough here with the polarity of people, the pro-Trumpers and the anti-Trumpers, and the, you know, all of the struggles that we're having between the media frames this as between private enterprise or corporations and government. And my contention is that through the years, the government, the corporations have basically taken over the government. So there are portions of it that are resistant. But
so you mean it's like it's all been bought, right? It's bought.
Yes. What I see as with all these planets clustered in Capricorn, Saturn, Pluto, and soon and now Jupiter, and then in March, Mars, there's the Saturn-Pluto conjunction coming up on January 13th, and that's right after a full lunar eclipse in Cancer, which is opposite that. And then by March, you have the whole collection. You have Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars all in Capricorn. So between January and March, we're getting a huge dosage of the processes that we have been going through since Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008. Pluto is the slow mover, and the other planets are forming conjunctions with this Pluto in Capricorn. And I said in all three of my books, it's the disestablishment of the establishment. Mm-hmm. And Capricorn means that the concentration of wealth and power, where giant transnational corporations and banks have basically bought out the governments and corrupted people across the board, mm-hmm. Almost in so many countries, so many places. in order for the profits before lives, profits before people's general well-being, anything they can do to make a profit, whether they destroy the environment, where they destroy the workforce, where they contaminate everything, no matter what it is, it's okay because we have gotten rid of most of the laws that prevented this. We have been bought out by Wall Street, so to speak. The Trump administration that said, oh, we're going to take care of all this, they're for all of this. Instead of overturning it, they're subsidizing it with giant
taxes. So basically, they lied and lied when they ran for office.
Lied across the board.
And the only thing you can count on is the lie. And that's the part that maybe teaches us what the truth is. I don't know.
Well, the problem is the media in general also is corporate owned, so that all of these things are perpetuated, even though the media seems, many places seems like they're coming out against Trump and pro everything. They're really not, because they're not allowed to really tell the truth about the fundamentals in the global economy, and certainly in the U.S. economy, that have been going on for years, many years now, that have created a schism between the upper, well, certainly the 1% that owns something like 88% of this country's wealth.
Jeez, Louise, huh?
In actuality, and everybody else. And then there's an upper 10% that have benefited from what the 1% have been doing with their stock options and their accounts, and also certain high-end jobs, which they get paid very well for. But the rest of the country, half of this country now lives at or below the poverty line.
Oh, it's so sad.
We have a homeless epidemic that there's been almost no media reporting that I have been talking about on my newsletters for years. 68,000 in homeless shelters in New York City, 58,000 in San Diego, 28,000 in downtown LA. Last week, 60 Minutes finally reported on homelessness in Seattle. They did a piece on that. The media has not reported on this. They are not in anybody's statistics. Most of them don't have a place to live, so they don't vote because they can't be registered to vote if they're homeless. So what is happening is all these millions and millions of people. My daughter volunteers at a homeless shelter in Portland, Oregon, and she says there are so many young couples with children in that homeless shelter, and both of them have like two part-time jobs and can't make enough money to rent a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, so I know that's a terrible sin.
I mean, what is happening in this country is the cartel of big business has lowered wages, are either stagnant or lower, has forced people into what you call a gig economy, where people have two part-time jobs with no health insurance just to scrape by, and they're scraping more than getting by. So we have a nation that the majority of people are practically just on the edge of, and yet the statistics say we have full employment, everything is great. You hear the Financial Channel reports on how great this economy, the stock market keeps rising, which it should have sold a long time ago, but because of Trump and the Republicans giving these guys this huge tax break, they have used that to buy back their own stock. And 2018 enabled them to buy 60% of this bubble market is stock buybacks. And when they ran out of that, they have been borrowing money from the banks to buy more of their own stock, leveraging themselves. And we have something that once this breaks, which I think it probably will at some point next year, is going to be catastrophic. Massive corporate debt. The public is using their credit cards at an all-time high historically. You have defaults on auto loans now taking place. And the housing market in the high-end areas is starting to grow soft, as it is in New York City and certain other places. It's also been a bubble market, which has kept housing prices very high and rents through the roof throughout the country. So we're sitting on private debt, and our Trump, who said he's going to lower the government debt, has raised the government debt massively, $1 trillion, because of the tax breaks to the super rich and to the corporate world. So we have now, he's saying he's going to make cuts to Medicare and Social Security, and he has proposed a cut in food stamps to the poorest of the poor, cutting these programs in order to give tax breaks to the billionaires. I mean, how much information do you have to know how fragile this so-called wonderful, growing, bubble, high Wall Street economy is? It's a big lie. And one of these days, it's going to fall off the cliff. I thought it would fall off at the end of this year. And every time it started to go down, Trump would say, oh, we're going to make a deal with the Chinese. Well, he hasn't made a deal, trade deal with the Chinese. The tariffs are still there. And Wall Street keeps going up based on Trump making a deal to get rid of these tariffs with the Chinese. And it never happens. And it just keeps going on and on. Trump says, oh, I'm talking with China. We're going to make a deal. Did he make a deal? No. And it just goes on and on, a giant bubble at the top of the food chain, and everybody else is going down the cliff.
What do you think is the motivation and the goal of, for example, Trump and his henchmen? Is it to fuse us with Russia? Is it to turn over the whole American way of life? Because he has pulled the plug on most of the American way of life.
He has, and I've been reporting on this in my newsletters as well over and over again. He's doing everything his pal Vladimir wants him to do.
But it seems weird to me. It seems that he talks in such a way that I go, he's got a scheme going on, and we're standing around like idiots sort of putting up with it. You know, we should be in the streets. Sorry, but we should.
Well, Trump is after Trump to profit, to stay in power and to profit in some way. And Vladimir Putin has something on Trump. We know that back in the late 90s, early 2000s, that Trump was involved with laundering Russian money that was drug trafficking and human trafficking money. In real estate over here, he was helping Putin out by allowing them to launder their money here. He was also in nefarious deals with Deutsche Bank, the biggest bank in Europe, who's been indicted for laundering drug money and everything else for the Russians and everybody else. Trump was involved in nefarious, illegal, and traitorous activities for years before he ran for president, and Putin has it on him. Mm-hmm. And my feeling is he's going to do everything Putin wants him to do, because Putin is, when he leaves the presidency, he's going to be profitable. He's going to be able to set up Trump enterprises all over, and maybe even in Russia, but also that Putin won't blow the whistle. Putin knew that Trump would create chaos, that he was a chaotic person and mentally unstable and crazy. So he wanted Trump to get elected, and he hacked into our system to help Trump get elected so that there would be chaos and the United States would lose its place as the number one world power. And he has succeeded, because by abandoning the Kurds in the Middle East and being very pro-Russian, abandoning the ending Cold War treaty that Reagan and Gorbachev set up in the 1980s, which was the greatest achievement for both of them.
Great
achievement for Reagan and Gorbachev. And he abandoned it last year. It's like nobody even seemed to care that he abandoned that, so that now Russia and the U.S. can start building up nuclear weapons again. They don't have anything binding them. He has criticized NATO, done everything but drop out of NATO, which has been in place since the Second World War. that we have supported each other militarily and been allies. He has dissed all of our allies, and he abandoned the Kurds in the Middle East, allowing Erdogan to go in, the head of Turkey, and take over that element of the Syrian border. They hated the Kurds. They want to create a genocidal massacre of the Kurds, who were on our side and fought with us to beat ISIS, and Trump has abandoned them. And I want to say that he has turned over that region, basically, to Russia. Russia is now the primary factor, the primary superpower in the Middle East, which is what they wanted all along, because all Russia has as an economy is oil. And they want to be in cahoots with the oil nations in the Middle East and control all of that. And Trump has literally just turned it over to them.
Is that why Trump also is reducing any of the protections against pollution and all that is all tied in with wanting to have
tied
the old
in
systems?
With the oil companies and these giant companies. It's all tied in with them helping him get reelected and contributing to his campaign. That's what it's about. Everything, he doesn't care one way or another about climate change, about pollution, about women's reproductive rights, or any of those issues that the far right and the corporations care about. So he's deregulating all the laws, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, all the things that both Democrats and Republicans passed over the past 20, 30 years.
And had made a huge difference in this country.
He's not enforcing those laws. He appoints people to those cabinet positions that are not enforcing these laws. And so the end of clean air, the end, he even punished California for pushing electric cars and wanting to even do more for cleaning up their air. He's punishing them. And everything that's not only about climate change, it's about local pollution, ocean pollution, air pollution, clean water, everything that we expect from our society to regulate and help us with. He's against all of that, obviously.
Even education, jump into a different subject, even education has...
Oh, please. he has backtrack all things that need to be done. His Secretary of Education tries to use government money to finance private religious schools because she is, again, a part of the evangelical Christian private school movement. So she is taking money out of public education. This is why she gets booed everywhere she goes throughout the country. He puts people into these positions that is backtracking, all because Trump is about Trump. He's about needing that base for his support. And no matter, you take the farmers. Now, the farmers are going bankrupt right and left because of the tariffs that China is, that he imposed on China, and China is now imposed on us. So we can't sell our farm goods to China anymore. And so these farmers, 40% of what they make is pretty much, whether it's soybeans or rice or mainly pork or whatever it is, they can no longer sell anything to China. So they are going bankrupt right and left. That plus the climate catastrophes that hit them this past year.
Oh, my.
Have really put, but you know, the farmers, you talk to them, they still think they buy Trump con man marketing.
Now, why is that?
I think there's a psychological aspect. I've said this now for years on my newsletter, that there's so many people that over the past 30, 40 years have been left out of everything. The manufacturing areas that went down and were created abroad where factories can have limitless amounts of pollution with no anti-pollution laws, and they can get almost slave-level labor. So they've taken manufacturing out and put them in these countries. Who did that? The corporations. Who allowed them to do it? The government that they had bought out. So what happened to them? Well, all of that went down, and all of these guys, and the Democrats. I mean, Hillary Clinton was not a good candidate. She was an insider, bankster type, and the people did not like her, and she didn't even show up in 2016 to these Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, these areas who had lost their jobs. So right. Trump appealed to this, even though he's doing the same thing since he got into office.
Yeah, because he blatantly lies. He just lies like a sidewalk.
Yeah, manufacturing is still leaving the country. He hasn't solved anything or contributed to the solution of anything. But what happens with people is they don't know what happened to them, and they really don't know who did it, so they blame the government over and over, and rightly so. But if the government were really serving the people as opposed to the big corporations and banksters, then it would be a different, but the government has been sold, bought and sold. So they don't know really who did this to them, and they looked around for a folk hero who would come up and say, I'm not a part of Washington. I'm not a part of the establishment. As I said in my first book, this was going to be like the second American Revolution. They were going to overthrow, I said, the disestablishment of the establishment would happen. And I predicted this in my first book that came out in 2007. And that's exactly what they did. Hillary Clinton represented that, and the Democrats sold out their original populist positions to Wall Street under Bill Clinton, who deregulated Wall Street. So both parties, Democrats and Republicans, have been under the thumb of the giant corporations and giant banks for years. It had been growing and growing in their power and in their influence to the point that they are like the old monarchies. And they're allergic to taxes. If they're taxed over here, they'll go over to the Cayman Islands or any other place where they can have these banks in which they're not paying anything. And they have all the money, and they're paying the least amount into our social systems, our water system, sewer system, bridges, highways, health care, which is a disaster. All of that they're backing out of supporting what all presidents since Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, all of them supported building a great infrastructure in this country for the public at large, and they knew this would be good for business because it makes it possible. And most of them have really, really abandoned all of this. And whether they're Democrats or Republicans. So the Democrats are flailing around as to who they are. What do they really support? Who am I? And it's a real struggle for them to come up with somebody who's going to beat Trump. And I want to say, as an astrologer, astrologically, Trump has the edge to win again in 2020.
Just I can't even stand that. Makes me want to be ill.
Yeah. I know, and I'm definitely, as you can see, not a pro-Trump person, but I look at his chart, and I see, you know, I saw the end of this year, he was going to have plenty of trouble. I also think he has some underlying health issues that he's keeping under wraps. That he has here. I think there are real problems with his physical and mental health. But nobody is going to find out about it if he has anything to say about it. And
I want to stop you just for a minute. When I was reading in your newsletter and other places that the astrological convergence is going on out there are really impacting our structure and foundation. I keep hoping that also means it's shaking apart stuff that we have taken on individually, and that there perhaps is a transformation for individuals. For example, you're talking about the namby-pamby Dems right now, but isn't there a transformation seething in people to find a better way? Isn't there going to be some positive action as well?
Yes, I believe that, and we can already see that it's happening with the young people. Look at Greta Thunberg, who is my current idol. I'm at her feet. This wonderful young woman who happens to have Asperger's, she has autism, and is out there giving her life's blood to wake people up that we have to have a massive environmental cleanup and change. the climate change and the environment are, in order for us to do eventually the right thing, a huge transformation has to be made in two areas. One, energy. And in my books and on my newsletters, I have repeatedly said we're going to solve that problem in the 2020s. We're going to have a variety of clean energies, but mostly it's going to be hydrogen, boron, nuclear fusion, which is on its way. We have fusion reactions. MIT is solving problems with electrical conductivity and making an infrastructure. This is no pollution whatsoever, no greenhouse gases, no warming, and infinite amounts of electricity for every nation all over the world. It is the holy grail. It will end the age of all fossil fuel or anything like that. That we're also going to create a near-perfect battery for storage, which we're on our way to doing. The problem with solar and wind is storing the energy from these technologies, and we're on our way.
Battery and this transformation, will that create a lot of jobs as well?
It will. It will. But it's been a problem. Solar has been a problem because the Chinese, as polluted as they are, and they're still using coal, they have India and China, these so-called big growth nations, have the worst pollution ever. Ever. They are so polluted that they're choking to death. Their air in Beijing, you have to wear masks most of the time. Their water's polluted, their air is polluted because they have no environmental laws. But the Chinese went into making solar panels. So what happened was they made them and sold them cheap over here, and most of them are very defective. They're not well made. But the things like Elon Musk tried to start a solar manufacturing company here in Buffalo, New York. It was close to me, where I live, and it failed because they could not compete against China with their cheap labor and cheaper technologies. We've got to change that. We've got to making solar an alternative viable over here. It will create jobs, but it won't if we have to compete against these other places that have no other laws in place, protective laws. So I really think, however, that fusion is going to be the holy grail. We're going to deal with this. I think by 2026, we're going to see multiple infrastructures for fusion put into place. Secondly, the current economic and financial situation is headed toward catastrophe. Now, what will happen is we need new ways and new economic visions, and it's these young people that are going to have to decide this, the ones in their 20s and 30s right now, not the baby boomers. It's going to be the millennials and even younger than that, that will march forward and create a whole different way of life. Green cities where people live a little more concentrated, that restore the sense of community, to emphasize small local business, small local entrepreneurship, which grow their food locally and organically, that live in passive solar housing, which is a type of architecture and construction that you can get away with no central heat or air conditioning. They have it here in Ithaca, where I live, at Eco Village in Ithaca. They've successfully done that, and they have solar arrays there that supply more than the electricity for the 100 people who live there.
Is it going on all over the country to have these little communities like Ithaca?
Yes. Right now, co-housing and eco villages are small and very experimental. But I think that way of life, which is more local self-governance, the eco-village is on an organic farm and an organic berry farm, and they've had their struggles like everybody else does, but they're the most populated and successful non-religious intentional community now in the world. And it's one of the reasons we moved. We are not in Eco Village, but it's one of the reasons we moved here 11 years ago. So there is now, I'm I have to say I'm connecting. My husband and I are connecting with our grandchildren who are in their 20s. And these kids, it's interesting because in October there was an article in the New Yorker about how millennials are taking to astrology.
Oh,
even
wonderful.
Though they're scientists, they believe in science and they love science, they're taking to astrology because they found out that there is valuable information for them in understanding themselves and why we are where we're going. So that these young people, many of them, I talk to my grandchildren, and our grandchildren are college educated, someone with graduate degrees, who have jobs that are paying them barely enough to live on, basically. and they're looking for a new way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And my one grandson and his significant other live in Philadelphia, and they want to buy a place that they can live in and also is a rental property so that they can live there and also rent out part of their house to other people, and that there's going to be more of a collective life. They want to. Philadelphia has been a very hot city in recent years for the millennials to move into.
Oh wow, really?
And they're looking to recreate things to be much more community oriented. They're not interested in becoming billionaires. They're mm-hmm. interested in making a decent living and having a public commons that works for them, both in terms of climate, environment, growing healthy food, and going back to being friends with each other,
mm-hmm.
and working together to create a bigger world. They're going to reinvent things, but this new economy is going to be so different. It's not like the war between socialism and capitalism. I'd like to throw those terms out the door.
Me too.
They're irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You can have entrepreneurial capitalism and enterprise balanced with laws and regulations that make it good for people in general. You can have a balance between those things.
And intrinsic respect for people and life.
At the end of World War II until around the mid-1970s, that's what we had in this country, and it worked.
Right. Yeah.
There was a balance between the socialistic side and the capitalistic side.
Right.
It didn't, you know, but now there is the balance with all that Capricorn, the concentration of wealth and power. And I want to say that as we go into the 2020s, this stuff is blowing up everywhere all over the world, and we're all going to have to go through our systems being either transformed and changed or blown up altogether. It'll depend on what country you live in and where you live and whatever it is.
But wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Doesn't that mean that the influence of the way the astrological maps are right now, the influence is hitting all of us, and that will come up with a different description from
exactly.
all of us?
Exactly. It hits everybody, and it depends on what nation you live in, what your resources are in your life. It depends on a lot of things, how all of this affects each individual and what's in your individual chart to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the individuals, then you have the fates of nations, you have the fate of the planet as a whole, which is really hard to grasp, you know, but there will be different parts of the world that suffer vastly more than other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing here, we have been so fortunate in the United States of America, largely because of our geography. We're between two oceans. We're a big country. We have inland supplies of fresh water, the Great Lakes, the largest in the world, except the Amazon River Basin, which has become so polluted it's almost unusable. We have the Great Lakes. We're in the Finger Lakes, which are an appendage of the Great Lakes. We have farmland. We have river. We have a way of surviving, in many ways, the coming climate catastrophes that are hitting the world. Coastal regions are going to be underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Parts of Africa and India, and they're going to become deserts because the heat is being turned up in these regions to the extent. One of the reasons the Middle East over the past decade has really blown up and gone into these revolutions is their wells dried up, their rivers dried up. The Tigris and Euphrates rivers, the biblical rivers, are now creeks. Iraq, which is also demonstrating and wanting to overthrow their government, they don't have water. And Syria, the Syrian revolution, their wells went dry. And that's one of the reasons that all these terrorist groups started to rebel against Assad. And you had the horrible massacre of the civil war in Syria. All over these nations in the Middle East, they're running out of water. The temperatures are rising. You hardly hear this reported on our news. I feel that these climate things are the underlying causes of political upheavals and revolutions everywhere. Huh. And they're barely reported on. How serious African nations are, they're just drying up. Somalia, these Africans are getting in boats and immigrating across the Mediterranean and everywhere they can to get to other nations because they can't even live in their own countries anymore. Wow. So you have mass migrations that we're all dealing with as a result of the civil wars and the environmental catastrophes that are hitting these nations. And that's one of the reasons we have all of this racism and xenophobia and anti-immigrant sentiment that has come up, is because so many migrants fleeing catastrophes in their own countries come into Europe, they come here to America from Central and South America, and then people get all upset about it and say they're the ones that are destroying our economy, which is not true, by the way. Mm-hmm. But that's what Trump has talked about creating. These things were there before Trump took office, so we can't blame him for all of this, but it is a resurgence of racism, xenophobia, anti-immigrant. Go back two generations and we're all immigrants here.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And there's this terrible, they're all, coming in, they're taking our jobs, and even though the reporters have proved over and over again that they often take jobs that most of us wouldn't take at that wage.
Right. Exactly.
It just goes on and on and on, what has happened and who has done it. And that's what I report on. And I want to say to our listeners that as we go through this time and these challenges take place, we have a monumental opportunity to change our consciousness, our economies, and the way we live from the bottom up. Now, these youngsters are probably the ones that are going to be doing it. The people who are in my senior citizens age group, we will do the best we can. But physically, we don't have the physicality to do what the young people. But I am seeing with my grandchildren come to our house and have these wonderful visits, and they're saying to us, Grandma, Grandpa, we can talk to you. They also have a big spirituality.
That's what I keep hearing, too.
Mm-hmm. For conscious and to get in touch with all that is, with the substance of everything, which is divine, which all we need to do is open our hearts and our soul and the answers and the solutions.
But wait a sec, I want to link back to something else. You were talking about structure and foundation. It seems like that reaches up, when you're talking about the spiritual stuff, that reaches up to the presence or something that's greater than all of us as well. That same picture, which gets us stuck in corporations and ugly power trips, it actually can reach our consciousness up into spirituality.
The last time Pluto was in Capricorn was the American Revolution.
Right.
And interesting, back in the mid-1500s, when Pluto was in Capricorn, was the Protestant Reformation, in which the Catholic Church was exposed for corruption, and Martin Luther and also King Henry, they all started the Protestant movement. In recent years, we've seen what's happened to the Catholic Church and the things that have been exposed there, which is very, very sad and mm-hmm. tragic. But at the same time, Catholicism once again is experiencing a revolution. And the Americans and worldwide are experiencing, and right after the American Revolution, the French Revolution occurred. In fact, all the monarchies of Europe suddenly became either overturned or threatened. Now, Pluto has returned, and as I said, we're having another American Revolution, and this time it's about the giant banks and corporations which have taken over. They're like the old monarchies. They run and rule everything, and they have tentacles throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And they are going to have to be changed and transformed and overthrown as they exist now. The problem is that so many people still depend on the current structures and the way of doing things. So there's always
going to fight for their lives. You know, mm-hmm.
Yes, there's always a situation when the old systems are overturned before a new viable system comes into place. There's always that danger of economic collapses and violence and revolution and the things that take place when people are frightened and they don't know who they are. They don't know where we're going. They don't know who they can trust. Mm-hmm. Many people, we have right now an opioid epidemic, a drug that kids are suicides that have literally lowered the life expectancy in this country. Because the pharmaceutical companies were allowed to dispense all of this stuff. And they're being sued privately. But that is just barely making a dent. We've had the abuse of big pharma, not only with the opioids, but in charging astronomical prices for drugs that went off of patents. I mean, it's horrendous. We, again, all of these things are going on, and people are suffering, and there have to be new people elected. We can't throw over our democracy. We've got to be a real democracy now, which means we've got to step up to the plate, know who did this to us, throw the buzzards out, and create a much better, more democratic system, which is what our founders actually did. They got rid of the monarchies. And I think of my hero, of George Washington, who was offered to be king of America. The people that won the American Revolution walked up and said, George, we want you to be king. And he said, no, I'm not going to be king. I'm going to be a president, an elected official that serves the people. This is the kind of leadership that needs to emerge in the 2020s now, because we're having a second overthrow of the power structure that is similar to the one we had the first time around. And this time, it's the giant economic entities that have run things and controlled things. And we've got to say no to them. And it's these young people who have to have the physical and mental strength to do so that have to create a new economy that works for everybody, not just an economy that works for the 1%.
And it sounds like it's an economy that comes from creating a new lifestyle. The thing about going back into Trump coming in again, I'm going, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the growth is coming through people, that people are actually outside of the system creating enough beginnings to fuel the, I'm being Pollyanna, but I want to see, I just know there's so much amazing stuff being.
No matter who gets elected 2020, they're going to be experiencing a massive revolutionary breakdown in not only here but around. They're going to experience it like they did in the 1700s. We're going to re-experience it within our present context. And we need young people to create something new, to envision new kinds of localized economies and democracies. And they're going to get there by opening themselves up to higher consciousness, by allowing the loving energy to come in and flood them with ideas and support. They're not going to get it from Amazon or Alphabet or any of these. They're going to get it through their own willingness to open up their hearts and minds to a greater wisdom and understanding. And I think they want to do this, they're motivated to do it, and they're ready to do it. It's obviously not going to be everybody. There's going to be a lot of people that are severely damaged by all of this, that do not know what to do, mm-hmm. and wind up dying of overdoses or suicides or whatever. There's a lot of people that are looking at these things, and they're just going crazy and becoming self-destructive. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. there's a lot of those people that are going to be paying terrible consequences. Mm-hmm. And we have to reach out to each other, and we have to change the media, the systems, everything. We have to change these things.
Well, I was going to ask you if these young, the millennials, are they recreating media? They are in a way with the YouTube stuff, but they are creating different ways of communicating. Yeah.
Absolutely. All these alternatives, which have democratized in many ways. Of course, they also put terrible things up there. They put hate groups can now go on and, hate groups and racists and, you know, all kinds
of. Yeah, but you're talking about people having rising consciousness, so they will step by. This dark stuff, right?
Well, I'm saying that the democratization of the media and the internet, there are two sides to it. Okay. There are those people who are going on with wonderful ideas and raising consciousness. And then there's the other side, the crazies and the hate mongers that also go on. So the important thing is for people to distinguish there. And I think that's starting to happen. I think there's more people that are saying we want to get rid of that, and we want to move forward into the light. And I'm optimistic about this as we go. The Aquarian age, in my interpretation, begins officially in December of 2020 under the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Aquarius in 2020. Okay. And then Pluto goes into Aquarius in 2024. And my feeling is, and I've talked about this on my newsletter, the upside of this age and the downside of this age. There's that. That's a whole other show. That's a whole other interview.
I would like to talk
right
about that.
Now, we have to get through the end of this Capricornian era and what it means and how the establishment needs to become disestablished, but in a constructive rather than a destructive way. And I want to say, Veronica, both of those things will happen. There mm-hmm. will be a destruction and there will be a construction. My theme to this newsletter, the coming conjunction is the Grim Reaper or the Gatekeeper. And but we have to realize with astrology that we track what the climate is going to be like psychologically, economically, on all these different levels. But it is our choice collectively as a species, as a country, as a family member, as an individual. We use astrology for information and make choices that are constructive for ourselves. No. That's the thing about astrology. It is inevitable that these issues will arise in history. What we do as the result of it is going to be our own choice as individuals and as nations.
I agree with you entirely. I think we're probably done, but we're not done. We could go on and on, and I really am grateful for your perceptions. But it's very inspiring when you say, you know, about new ways, the millennials and new ways of doing things, that is rising. And we have to remember that.
Well, I do feel that the young people, basically, they're young. They have the physical energy to stand up to this and to rise against all of the things we could talk about forever, the food system and how it's been ruined so that we have an obesity epidemic in this country because of the chemicals and the sugars and everything that's been added to food, and we have health crises due to the things that are allowed to be sold. with all of these bad things and contamination. So these kids have to take a stand against those things. They have to learn. And part of this new economy is going to be growing organic food locally and making sure that we have more localized food systems and healthy food systems that we take responsibility for.
I think one of the big good influences that sounds not good is the fact that many young people are way weaker and way physically weaker, but they're and the autism thing has been really important. So I think they're turning our attention into how humanity can empower itself, because they're doing a lot of that too.
Again, it's all about the dominance of corporations that say profits at the cost of human lives. We can get away with anything because we bought out the legislatures and the presidency, and we can get away with anything. And that is going to have to change. Mm-hmm. The consumer thing that Elizabeth Warren did, and of course the old Ralph Nader consumer protection laws and everything—they're there, but they're just under this administration, they're not being enforced.
Of course not. I want to say one thing. James Twyman, who was the peace troubadour, he used to go and sing songs of peace in the middle of war zones and so on. Anyway, I interviewed him recently, but he is now setting up, or a part of setting up, quite a large community just in Mexico, which is all about peace. Everybody there is involved with peace. And I just thought that was a nice little report to throw in.
I think it's a wonderful idea, but as we all know, Mexico has its problems with drug cartels running things and threatening their government. And also there are parts of Mexico that are turning into major deserts. And one of our friends was involved in the park system, the national park system, and she said everything is just drying up there because of climate. So Mexico has its problems. Wherever we go, we're going to have to deal with the governments and the climates in every place that we go and set it up. And I'm so glad that he's doing something like this.
I am too. That community consciousness is part of what's going to be transforming.
Exactly. And this has, I frankly think that right in the middle, there's, you know, Detroit and how horrible and devastated Detroit has been over the past, really, 30 or 40 years, their economy. They're starting up green movements in Detroit, growing their own food organically and creating local food marts. And they're starting to do interesting things in Detroit. They're starting to do things in Philadelphia. They're starting these small things that are very rarely publicized, where young people are getting together and changing the economy and the way of life in these areas. And they're going unannounced, unpublicized. Nobody's talking about it. Eventually, you're going to be talking about it. You're going to be seeing these things start to arise and start to happen, which that's where my optimism comes in, is I have faith in these young people. And many, as you pointed out, many young people in this country are obese, diabetic, unhealthy, hooked on opioids. I mean, it's terrible what we have done in this culture to our young people. Mm-hmm. But they hopefully are going to wake up, turn themselves around, and start a different kind of a lifestyle, and they're going to turn more toward making friends and have community support and changing the local economies and the local food systems. And I think you're going, it's not going to be one, like a big thing that's announced at everyone. You're going to have one thing like your friend in Mexico, something over here, then something over there, and then something over there. And one of these days we're going to wake up and find out those somethings have mushroomed and become big and will save the planet.
Yeah, I believe in that. Well, Linda Sherman, soothsayer.com. Linda Sherman as a soothsayer, as an astrological soothsayer, I thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure, Veronica.
It's always a joy.
Have a wonderful year to all you and all of your listeners.
And do you want to give people a website or something to connect with you?
Yes, it's soothsayer, SOOTHESAYER. That's .com, and my email is soothsayer, SOOTHESAYER, at USA.net.
Well, bless you. Bless your Christmas holidays, whatever you celebrate, and we'll talk again.
Hopefully. All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And let's pray for that. Happy New Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, Linda. Much love.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Bye.